This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by two brilliant leaders. We've got Matt Searles, the founder and a partner in Merit Healthcare Advisors. We've also got Jay Przanski, Senior Vice President with Merit Healthcare Advisors. They're going to talk to us today about a very specific subject. We'll need about 20 minutes of your time. They're going to talk about cardiology and vascular surgery in surgery centers and outpatient settings, an area that's grown tremendously the last few years. I'm going to start by asking Matt and Jay to quickly introduce yourselves. Matt?
This is Matt Searles. I'm a partner with Merit Healthcare Advisors. We are a healthcare investment bank focusing on mergers and acquisitions for surgery centers, surgical hospitals, and large physician groups. I also own a surgery center company. And we employ a lot of those resources to help us with our investment banking deals as well.
Jay?
Yes, my name is Jay Przanski. Auspicious background, I'm a physician with an MBA. I was a practicing physician for a long time. I was CEO of one of the first physician practice management groups in the country, developed numerous ASCs and outpatient facilities, and now I'm really enjoying the investment banking field as healthcare continues to evolve.
Well, fantastic. What a fascinating career, Dr. Przanski, and thank you for joining us. Matt, let me start with you on a question. What has led to cardiology and vascular surgery becoming much more advantageous targets for surgery center companies, for surgery centers, and for private equity that invest in surgery centers and practices? Why have they all of a sudden become a lot more popular?
Sure. So I think there's a bunch of factors that make them strong candidates for, you know, investment and consolidation. But the first of which is fragmentation. It's very early stage. You know, we have over the last 10 years, you know, migration towards hospital employment for cardiologists. And now you see it moving really in the other direction, which helps. There's significant growth due to population demographics, which we can get more into, both in terms of the number of people suffering from cardiovascular disease and increased lifespan. The specialties have access to ancillaries, the ability to coordinate care with other specialties, which makes them very well suited to alternative payment models. And, you know, we have significant out-migration of cases from hospitals due to, you know, improved technology cost pressures that are on, you know, payers and patients as we see, you know, patients becoming more and more responsible for their share of the healthcare costs. And we see increased price transparency and familiarity with the retail experience, all contributing to growth factors as well.
Thank you. And have there been changes in reimbursement the last few years that have also led to this out-migration? Or what's some of that?
Yeah, interestingly, you know, we have some research from the advisory board, and there's so many data points that speak to that. But one of which is, you know, continuing trends, maybe a negative 15% reimbursement decrease to hospitals for procedures that in ASCs are now seeing, and OBLs are seeing plus 10, plus 20% reimbursements. And we're even seeing cases, you know, cardiovascular stents being done in surgery centers at a much, you know, greater reduced cost. And I think that that's an opportunity both federal government and private payers see.
Well, fantastic. And Dr. Przanski, let me ask you a question. There's always a situation in healthcare, particularly with practices and investors and so forth, where they want to both know, you know, what is the core business that a cardiologist or vascular surgeon does, but also what are the ancillary services that are so critical to them treating patients well, but that also might have a financial benefit to the practice too. You know, and Jay, can you talk about that some?
Sure, I'd love to. You know, it's interesting. Private equity has been looking at a lot of specialties like ophthalmology, orthopedics, and GI, but I think they've really overlooked some of the value of cardiology. Cardiology currently ancillaries include stress testing, EKG, echocardiology, SPECT, myocardial perfusion, cardiac rhythm testing and monitoring. But emerging trends are really ASCs and OBLs, as, you know, there's really a lot more revenue that can be taken out of the hospital setting where there are very, very expensive cases brought to a lower cost environment that leaves a lot of margin for the practices. Additionally, PET scans, MRIs, and pharmacy are other ancillaries that can be added to cardiology practices that many don't have right now.
And thank you. And Matt, is there anything you wanted to add on to that?
Yeah, you know, and some of those that Jay mentioned, there's just significant profitability in them. And, you know, I think we've seen some models where there's significant profitability, but those ancillaries aren't really bending the cost curve. They're not the lowest source, you know, for that service. And these really are. And then there's a real focus on, again, with payers to push these types of treatments into these environments where they are physician-owned and, you know, thus are paid significantly less than the hospital. So you can both bend the cost curve and receive considerable profitability for the ancillary, which makes them, you know, an attractive engine as you try to grow that cardiology vascular platform.
Thank you. And a follow-up question for yourself, Matt, and this goes really to the investment banking, the selling of practices, selling of cardio facilities or ASCs. When somebody's selling a facility, is it better to keep these things separate, meaning the office-based lab and the cardiovascular procedures are done that way and some of the ancillaries, or to package them together with the surgery center? You know, how do people do better? Do you better packaging things together or selling them separately? And how are multiples affected and pricing affected?
Yeah, I think that scale is always favored. And, you know, certainly as we look to businesses with platform capability, the more you can roll into them, the better. And, you know, we do find that sometimes there's pretty complex arrangements that have been set up within these practices, but they can be simplified into an MSO arrangement, you know, fairly easily. And so, but, you know, the practices that are traditionally a bolt-on in any, whether it's orthopedics, GI, or cardiology, are going to trade at lower multiples than a business that, you know, is split apart in some fashion, does not include all its ancillaries. I think the investors looking at this, you know, see quite a few avenues for growth. And to the extent that you can include them all in your offering, it's just going to make it more attractive overall.
In a follow-up question for these types of procedures, these types of businesses, demographic trends, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and there's so many that we could go through, but I just picked out a few here. You know, 45% of the U.S. population is expected to have some type of cardiovascular disease by 2035, and primarily, you know, driven by diet and lifestyle choices related to obesity, diabetes, COPD. They all contribute. I mentioned before, lifespan's getting longer, and you know, I think there's 11% decrease in mortality over 5-year period post diagnosis. And this was a fairly recent study, and I think that's going to only improve and increase the demand for these services. I mentioned before as well that, you know, related to demographics, right, we see patients that are now more responsible for their payments, wading into an environment of better transparency and more familiarity with retail experiences in healthcare. That's you know, quasi-demographic, but it's contributing. And I had mentioned before about reimbursements declining. We also are seeing, you know, 5-year growth of outpatient cases, surgery centers, OBLs increasing, you know, 10-15%. The same projections call on hospital cases to decrease by the same amount. So just demographically, it's just very favored.
Well, fantastic. And it's certainly at a time when surgery centers themselves are seeing low single-digit growth in cases. So these cases that help to drive much higher percentage growth are very favorably looked at, I take it.
Yeah, and it's very true, right? You have a real maturing of the ASC industry, and like any maturing industry, it comes with price pressures, margin compression. And so this is a nice avenue for additional growth that, you know, we are seeing a few of these. You know, joints and orthopedics certainly represents one, but it's beginning to mature as it moves more and more into the outpatient environment. Here, we're in the very nascent stages of something that really could represent a lot of growth for investors.
Thank you. And then a follow-up question for Dr. Brzezinski. Jay, talk about some of the emerging and evolving payment models and the ability to bend the cost curve and improve things through packaging and working some of these into the outpatient settings. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, when you look historically at the amount that hospitals have been charging and getting paid for hospital-based procedures, whether it's cardiac stents or distal stents or arteriograms and things that cardiologists will do in the hospital, and now it's moving to an outpatient setting that the cardiologist can own, a couple of things happen. One is just moving it from the hospital to the ASC, the cardiologist can now bring the cost down. He can bring better value to his group or increase revenue and bring value to the payer and the patient by charging less for it on a simple level. On a getting moving up the complexity curve, it allows, by owning the ancillaries, it allows the cardiology group to now start bundling payments for insurers, which makes it more attractive for insurers as well. And then as a group gets big enough, which is really the goal, one of the things we keep hearing about is alternative payment models and bending the cost curve. And really the ultimate of that becomes, or the endpoint becomes, true risk sharing. And with true risk sharing arrangements, it really becomes a win-win for the insurers, the patients, and the group itself by putting them in an exclusivity role.
Thank you. So you're seeing lots of opportunities here to both bend the cost curve, improve things for payers, but also add revenue for cardiology and related groups. Is that a fair assessment, Jay?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And Matt, we just have a few minutes left. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe a case study in this area and looking at these businesses and how they sort of transpire?
Sure. Yeah, real quick, if I could just add on to Jay's comments, I think if we could work some COVID commentary into this, I would say that all the trends that we see that were occurring in healthcare before COVID will be radically accelerated now that, the government has expended enormous amounts of capital and debt to support the economy. They're going to be looking more than ever for ways to save money. And sadly, many of our countrymen out of work or heading into a recession here, we're going to see, demand for lower pricing and alternative payment models just accelerate. And so just wanted to add that. In terms of a case study, we have enormous demand for, and just as a matter of observation, just enormous demand for the cardiovascular deals that we are working on now. And where you might see a small handful of regional players come in to look at a platform business, maybe in the 3 to 4 bid range for a typical deal. This is double to triple that, and I think it's a recognition that there is somewhat of a herd mentality in investing, that this was oft overlooked, and the time is right to be able to come in and invest. And in that business in particular involved OBL, ASC practice, extraordinarily talented management, and the type of deal that there's always that push pull with multiples, but on the very high end of the range, that type of deal would trade. And one striking thing about it as well was bids from PEs and strategics, and a lot of times you don't see that. It's either PE or a strategic deal, and they don't mix that frequently.
So it's kind of fascinating that even in this sort of challenging time, there's this increased interest in these kinds of deals.
Yeah, I think that there is. I will tell you, I think it's the great unknown where everything's headed at the moment. So I do think the larger, more capitalized, under-leveraged private equity funds and strategics are looking to go on the offensive in the belief that this will turn around and this will be back at some par level shortly. And so, especially for these deals, we have not seen any kind of pullback in terms of pace. Now, obviously, deal closings are on hold for everyone for a little while, but interest in the deals overall, it's been really robust.
That's fantastic. Jay and Matt, anything else you wanted to leave the audience with? I know you've seen a great growth in this area. Your firm is one of the brightest firms I know in terms of actually sort of like both assisting surgery centers, but more importantly in this investment banking of centers and practices and helping them find the right partner, the right buyer, whatever their goals are. So just fantastic. Matt and Jay, any closing comments?
Yeah, Jay and I talk about this a lot, that we like to be in businesses that add long-term value. And we look at these types of deals, we think we can, provide a lot of value to the client and to the buyer and to, society in general. As you look at the way that these can consolidate, bend the cost curve, and just make a better business. And that to us, in a self-serving way, obviously, is a good thing. But we're just very positive about it and not surprised by the demand and the interest in it for those same reasons.
And just to follow, I would agree with everything Matt said. It's just a great time to help smaller practices evolve, bring a bit of technology to the group and ultimately help the patients and help the physicians as well.
Well, fantastic. Both of you have built tremendous professional careers and a great business. We appreciate you being with us so much today. Matt and Jay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.